The American security analyst and whistleblower Edward Snowden first revealed details of mass surveillance by US and European governments in 2013.
And then they can use this system to go back in time and scrutinize every decision you've ever made.
Top secret projects monitored emails, phone records, and what people looked at on the internet.
To sort of derive suspicion from an innocent life and paint anyone in the context of a wrongdoer.
Fast forward to 2016, and the British government is trying to pass a revised version of its controversial Investigatory Powers Bill. But campaigners have ridiculed the new draft, calling it minor Botox and suggesting that not much has changed. Matthew Rice is from Privacy International, a charity that investigates government surveillance.
What they actually did was they went to part one of the bill that said general protections, and they added the word privacy to the title, general privacy protections. They haven't consolidated those protections. They haven't made it clear about how they're protecting our right to privacy. It's a clever game, but it's also almost mocking of the parliamentary process of review to call this an increased privacy protective piece of legislation. It's almost worse than not listening.
Tech experts are more worried that large amounts of data may fall into the wrong hands and be sold to foreign intelligence agencies and criminal gangs. Dr. Haider Al-Khatib is a digital security lecturer at Britain's University of Bedfordshire.
Because cyber attacks are happening quite frequently nowadays, and we are all familiar with many examples, I mean, Sony, Apple, even these large enterprises. So the question is, can smaller companies maintain the privacy of this data and make sure that access will only be given to law enforcement?
When the latest revisions to the bill were announced, the government said the police would be given powers to hack computers and phones, something normally reserved for intelligence agencies. But they will need a judge's approval, and for some requests, they'll need permission from a judge and a minister together. These revisions have been welcomed by Privacy International's Matthew Rice.
There's been a big change in oversight, and now they've introduced in this new act the role of judicial commissioners by introducing the role of judges in approving the use of these powers. That is a landmark statement from the UK. There are some limitations that we're still uncomfortable with, but as a principle, it is a big step forward.
But digital forensics specialist Dr. Haider Al-Khatib insists that the big law breakers, terrorist organisations and criminal gangs, will remain one step ahead technologically, using virtual private networks and other software to avoid detection.
All it takes for them is to use a VPN service from outside the country. This will encrypt all the communication from their machines. Because they know they are doing something wrong, they can also simply boot into computers not owned by them using a USB stick without leaving any traces on that machine. So no traces on the machine, encryption outside the UK, then forwarded through countries you don't have an agreement with.
Police have been keen to point out that every counter-terrorism investigation in the last decade has been helped by the ability to spy digitally on suspects. And when she first presented the bill to Parliament last November, Home Secretary Theresa May said the threats faced by the UK were considerable.
They include not just terrorism from overseas and homegrown in the UK, but also industrial, military and state espionage. They include not just organised criminality, but also the proliferation of once physical crimes online, such as child sexual exploitation.
Prime Minister David Cameron hopes it will be second time lucky for this law, after a similar bill was rejected by the government's coalition partners in 2013. With his centre-right party now governing alone, the revised law is expected to clear Parliament by the end of the year. Nick Martin, RFI, London.